Reading from God's holy word, we're reading from the prophet Jeremiah in the 31st chapter. And we remember that when we first started reading from the prophet Jeremiah, he was foretelling that the kingdom of Judah was going to be captured and taken into exile. And now we're getting towards the end, and he's speaking to the people again and promising them some hope and some possibilities. And so we read from the 31st chapter, beginning at verse 27. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will plant the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the offspring of men and of animals, just as I watched over them to uproot and tear down and to overthrow and destroy and bring disaster. So I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. In those days, people will no longer say, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Instead, everyone will die for his own sin. Whoever eats sour grapes, his own teeth will be set on edge. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, we're in the third chapter. And we begin at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And the gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to Luke. We're in the 18th chapter, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. Hear now the word of our Lord. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to the judge with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time the judge refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. O God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and minds, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. We've talked a lot, it seems, in the last several weeks about prayer and praying without ceasing, and prayers that sustain us and are appropriate. I think I mentioned once, I can't remember which date before I went on vacation, which is probably why I can't remember it, about seeing God as a genie, and that sometimes our prayers are like that, that we pray and we just want to rub the lamp and have God come out and grant us our wishes, right? Whatever we want, it should be there. Annie Dillard calls that God sticking a finger in, if only now and then. Yeah. And don't we sometimes give God the credit? You know, making a good profit on a house when we sell it in an upmarket, finding the job that we needed. I had a friend in college who prayed for parking places. You ever prayed for parking places? And then all of a sudden she'd have one exactly where she wanted it. I thought it would have been better if it also would have had the meter paid for, but, you know, she never prayed to have the meter paid for, I guess. Yeah. And I love my Broncos. They aren't my Broncos, the Denver Broncos, very, very much. And they won the Super Bowl last year, you know, and some of the guys were going, thanks be to God. And that's wonderful that they lived through the Super Bowl without injury, you know. I guess that would be Thanksgiving. But you know, it's like God gave them their victory. And I really don't care for Carolina too much, but I thought, I bet they were praying before the game, too, that they would win. Yeah, you know, and how did God pick sides? I don't think that's an appropriate prayer. And we've all heard the stories of people who really are down on their luck, unemployed, looking at their last little bit of money, thinking they were about to be homeless, and they buy that Powerball ticket and they win $200 million. And they thank God for blessing them. And I would feel blessed too. But personally, I have a hard time with God caring a whole lot about Powerball, lotteries, and gambling. There are those, though, that see that that's what prayer is. And we can easily get swayed that way because so much of our prayer is for ourselves and those we love, isn't it? Cure them of this disease. Save their life. Restore them to good health the way they used to be before the heart attack or the cancer or old age or arthritis. Restore me to what I used to be. Make my life easier. I want this and I want that. And I think I need this. Huston Smith says that when the consequences of belief are worldly goods, such as health, then fixing on these things turns religion into a service station for self-gratification. And it turns churches into health clubs. He said that that's the very opposite of religion's role. Religion's role is to decenter the ego, not pander to its desires. Religion's role is to remind us that we serve God first, and we take it away from us, and we make it about God. I like that line. The consequences of belief that God will give us everything we ask for is that we focus on worldly goods. And when we focus on those things, then we turn our religion into a service station for self-gratification. Does that mean that we aren't supposed to pray for those things then? Jesus tells us to pray constantly, to see God as a parent that loves us and cares for us, and that prayer is the dialogue with that parent. Well, even though I don't live at home anymore, I still talk to my folks frequently about the things I want and the things I think I need. And I remember a lot of conversations when I was a little girl, and I remember going away to college being pretty proud of the fact that I saw myself as a daddy's girl. Of course, I was his only daughter. That made it easier to be a daddy's girl. But I could sit down next to him and talk to him about everything I wanted and ask him pretty please, and if it was possible, he gave it to me, you know? If it was possible. And if it was good for me, and if it was what I really truly needed to have a better life. There was a lot of stuff I asked for, though, if I'm honest, that I never got. There was a lot of stuff that we went without because we didn't have the means. But there was a lot that we did not go without. Their presence in my life, their love, their care, their concern. That's the kind of parent that Jesus tells us God is. A God who listens and wants the connection and the relationship and the conversations about what's going on in our lives and in our heads and in our hearts. And as it's appropriate and as it heals us and as it gives us what we need and what God wants us to have, then we receive it. So what's different about this widow Jesus tells the parable about, that she prays without ceasing, that she harangues this judge, that she's in his courts every day, calling out, wanting attention, wanting to be heard, wanting justice. Jesus tells us that the judge gets tired of harassment, and so he finally says, okay, I'll listen to you. I'll listen to you. And then he reminds us that God is even greater than that judge, who has no compassion and no fear of accountability and no sense of responsibility. God is far bigger than that. Jesus says God will not delay, God will help, God will grant justice. Well, I don't know about you, but some of the stuff I pray for has nothing to do with justice. It has everything to do with my own ego. But at least I'm in conversation with God, and I think it's the work of God that I get reminded of that once in a while. Where's justice in this? Where's mercy in this? Where is the kingdom of God in this? It might seem that so many of our prayers are unanswered prayers, and yet maybe it's that by praying constantly, staying connected to God, we become participants in God's kingdom and in the coming reign. And that when we do that, we not only serve God, but we don't give up hope. We live knowing with certainty that God did not abandon us and God did not abandon this world. What's it like when you live in hope? Is it different? I find myself to be more optimistic because I have hope. I have hope that things that aren't right can be fixed and changed. I have hope in eternal life. I have hope in God's realm, which looks really different than the way humans do it. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Living in hope means we have energy and we can work in so many different ways for God's justice and God's peace. The justice and peace that we've gotten small tastes of, but that we know is coming fully. The Gospels were written for the early church, for the people who did not know Jesus personally, that they might come to know him. And thankfully, that's for us too. But the early church, I'm sure, prayed for many things. They prayed to receive the Holy Spirit. They prayed that others would come to believe and accept Jesus as the Christ. But they also were being hunted, persecuted, imprisoned, killed because they believed in Jesus. And I think they were just as human then as we are now, and they probably prayed for safety and to be let out of prison and to not be killed. But we know that so many of them, those prayers weren't answered. But they kept praying and they kept believing. And I'm thankful they did, because the good news got handed down and it got written down and it got shared so that I can come to believe. But what did they get then with that constant praying? Well, perhaps they got exactly what they needed the most. A sense of God's loving presence. A sense of God's attention. Attentive to their needs and their plight. They got the strength to endure, resiliency to keep on going, and the fortitude to keep gathering together to be the body of Christ, that they might survive, not just as people, but as the church. Yes, we need to pray. We need to pray constantly. We need to challenge ourselves and make sure that we're also praying for justice, that we can count on God to come down for righteousness on the side of those who have no power, no influence, no voice. That God will come down and be with those who have nowhere else to turn. Yeah. We can count on God not always to give us what we ask for, but to hear us with love, with patience, to know what's in our hearts, and to share with us that we might be part of God's reign right now, that we might live in hope. May it be so in all our lives, today and in the days to come.